Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. And so it's finally transitioned from 2020 to 2021, from 5780 to 5781. Let me wish you a happy new year. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're over the line. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Over the threshold into this brand new year. And I thank God for 2020. You know, a lot of people, you know, talk about how dismal it has all been. And in many respects, of course, there's many people who have struggled through it and suffered in it. But for us as God's people, you know, there's been tremendous opportunities. Maybe more opportunities created over this past year than we've had in a long time. Just to share the good news of the kingdom. Hallelujah. With people. And we pray that every seed that's been sown will bring forth fruit in these coming days. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we are. Glory to God. The year of the local church. That's the prophetic proclamation, the prophetic declaration that we've been given. The year of the local church. Hallelujah. Amen. To some that might not sound very exciting, but to be honest, as far as I'm concerned, it's the most exciting New Year declaration that I have ever heard. Why? Because the local church has always been God's plan A, and he has never had a plan B. Hallelujah. And from the beginning of this church, you know, the vision and the mission statement that I believe was given to us by direct download, virtually, from the Lord, has declared that the vision and the mission of New Wine Church is to establish and to encourage strong local churches, consisting, strong local churches, consisting of disciples of Jesus Christ who love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind and strength, and who love their neighbour as themselves, who demonstrate the love of God poured out in their hearts by the Holy Spirit in a strong commitment to the Lord, to one another, to the whole body of Christ, and to the people of the community of which they are a part. Hallelujah. Amen. The second statement says, whose lives are firmly founded. Strong local churches consisting of disciples of Jesus Christ, whose lives are firmly founded upon the solid rock of the revelation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who are committed to preaching the full gospel of salvation, healing and deliverance, and who live in the liberty of true biblical holiness. Hallelujah. The third statement, strong local churches consisting of disciples of Jesus Christ who have allowed the Holy Spirit to blast a hole through the traditions and doctrines of men and to establish them in the truth of the uncompromised Word of God, whose doctrine is not based upon their own or others' experience, but whose experience is determined by faith in the Word of God. The next statement, hallelujah, the last statement, strong local churches consisting of disciples of Jesus Christ who are committed to reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ministry of reconciliation, to be salt and light in their local community and beyond, locally, regionally, cross-culturally, and internationally. Remember when Jesus said, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Locally, regionally, cross-culturally, and internationally. Amen. And then there's a last statement. Hallelujah. It's just two scriptures welded together. Luke chapter 9, verse 6, and Mark chapter 16, verse 20. It says, so they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Praise God. So this year, we will celebrate our 30th anniversary as New Wine Church. Hard to believe, but this year we will celebrate our 30th anniversary as New Wine Church. And we have had a prophetic word from pretty close to the beginning of the church about the revival that took 30 years. And so, all that we have been doing up to this point has been to get us to the place where we are now, well, that's just a pretty logical statement, isn't it, really? But I'm just going to go back just over a couple of things, just to remind us who we are, where we've come from, what God's been doing, and so we have a clear vision and direction of where we are going. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. On the 11th of April, 2007, as I was reading and meditating on Proverbs chapter 4, I received a very clear word. And the word was this: I have not been building a ministry through you. I have been building a message in you. And out of the message, the ministry will come. Many ministries will come. Hallelujah. And so I believe that we are in a very significant time prophetically as a church. A time when there will be many more opportunities for ministry from the message. But what does the Lord put first? He put the message first. And out of the message, the ministry will come. Sometimes we're very quick and we're so impatient, we just want to get out there and get engaged in ministry. And absolutely, that's God's deposited that zeal on the inside of us. There's nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. But we need to get a hold of the message. We need to know that we've dug down deep and we've laid, the foundation has been laid, and we're going to come arise out of that foundation and bring something that truly is good news. Hallelujah. Amen. It's always real, always relevant, and always radical. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So, as I said, 2020 was a very challenging year for many. But I do remember saying this at the outset of this whole coronavirus lockdown back in March. I said that this would not in any way change our message. And in fact, I believe our message has never been more relevant than it is now. Hallelujah. Never more real, never more relevant. And when you share it with some people, it comes across to them like it's pretty radical. Hallelujah. But over the past few weeks, you know, I've been re-emphasizing the need for churches to be established apostolically. And I want to clarify something here right now. What I mean by a church that is established apostolically, it's very straightforward, it's very simple. What I'm talking about is a church that has been established on the foundation of all that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. He's our apostle. Hallelujah. He is the apostle. Now, some people may function as an apostle, but he is the apostle. Amen. Hallelujah. A church that has been established on the foundation of all that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf when he laid down his life for us and took it up again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid." Oh, hallelujah. Catch the tense there. That which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What I don't mean by a church that is established apostolically is a church where people are obsessed with titles and hierarchical systems and all of that other nonsense. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So back in the early 90s, the Lord spoke to me, and I thought of me, I could take you to the place in South Shawbus, when I was driving through there. I was delivering milk early in the morning, and I felt the Lord in my spirit just says, pull over to the side of the road. I used to carry a notebook with me around, because it was times of fellowship with the Lord, times of communion. Hallelujah. Very often I find God will speak to me, not when I'm sitting doing nothing, but when I'm busy, when I'm doing something. Hallelujah. I just heard him say, pull over. And I got my notebook out, and I went through many notebooks, you understand. And I got my pen and my notebook, and this is what he said to me. He said, "My gifts to the church are apostle, not apologist. Prophet, not philosopher. Evangelist, not egotist. Pastor, not imposter. Teacher, not tickler." And I thought, wow. I wrote that down, and I sat there for a while. And over the years, as I've come back and thought of that, and really drawn strength from that, to be honest, and drawn fresh direction from that, glory to God, and helped me to see some of the stuff that goes on. Anyway, hallelujah. Let me just move on. The church that is established apostolically is founded upon the truth that Jesus, and I want you to hear this because this is fundamental, foundational. This will change your life. It will change the way you read the scripture. It will change the way you understand the scripture. If you just take a hold of it and let it go down deep. Dig down deep into that place in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That place of deposit of God's word where it begins to break loose and begins to transform and renew your mind, and which leads to complete transformation. Hallelujah. The church that is established apostolically is founded upon the truth that Jesus has already provided everything that we will ever need. Oh, hallelujah. He has already provided everything that we will ever need. You know, early in our history, as a church, the Holy Spirit gave me what I like to call the immutables. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 20, it says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. I mean, you can meditate on some of this stuff for a month and just get blessed. You know what I'm saying? But thus God, determining to show more abundantly. You know how many times God puts these two words together? Thus God, determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchangeableness of his purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Confirmed and guaranteed it by an oath, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Remember, God's word of spirit, soul, and body. Our soul is so susceptible to everything that's going around us. We need it. Our soul needs to be anchored, and our soul is anchored to this hope, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The immutables are the unchangeables. They are not up for debate. They are foundational, scriptural truths. And I just felt the Lord help me to just put a list of these immutables. The first one: we are not sinners trying to get righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, with power and authority in Jesus' name to resist sin. You go into the Word, you'll find that all of these are very scriptural. they're completely scriptural. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we wouldn't want them. And otherwise, they'd be very faulty foundations. Second, we are not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed with power. We are already the healed with power and authority in Jesus' name to resist sickness. Thirdly, we are not the oppressed trying to get delivered. We are already the delivered with power and authority in Jesus' name to resist every manner of oppression and depression and every kind of demonic impression and suppression and all of these other oppressions and obsession and even right down to possession. Come on, we are not the oppressed trying to get delivered. We are the delivered with power and authority in Jesus' name to resist every manner of oppression. Number four, we are not the poor trying to prosper. We are the prosperous. We were born again prosperous with power and authority in Jesus' name to resist poverty. In fact, God says that he gives us the power to create wealth. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Very important that we catch that. And so the immutables, the unchangeables, they acknowledge that Jesus has already done everything necessary. So all we have to do is simply, I know it sounds too simple, but simply believe that and resist any attempt to move us from that reality by continually proclaiming and declaring these truths until everything that has been already provided in the realm of the Spirit. What does Jesus say? Pray that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that which God has already purposed and provided in heaven might manifest in the earth, in our experience. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Back in late 2010, I woke up very early in the morning and I heard the Lord say this: tell my people that they have the authority to say stop. The scripture I received was Luke chapter 10, in verse 19. Behold, I give you authority. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That covers everything. Remember, the basic foundation laid by Jesus Christ himself is that he has already provided everything that we will ever need. Glory to God. You know, when I first received the immutables, the Lord instructed me to teach on them wherever I went, any time I got an opportunity to speak somewhere else, to first of all speak about the immutables. And it soon became apparent that there was a there's a lot of digging to be done through generational layers of tradition before many people could be fully established on these very simple truths. It was the same with the message regarding the authority to say stop. You know, you share some of that stuff and people just look at you about kind of goggle-eyed, you know what I'm saying? But we go on digging. We go on digging till we get these foundations established in people's lives so that they can rise up and be the people that God created them to be. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God says, I give you the authority to say stop. To say stop. To what? To say stop to anything that comes by any means to hurt you or to harm you. Or those that you have responsibility for, or those that you are willing to take responsibility for. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, people have been taught traditionally to pray, which is great, hallelujah, but then to just wait passively for God to do something. But you know what? That is actually contrary to the teaching of the Word of God, to the teaching of Scripture. And so in this year of the local church, it is time for the simplicity of the good news of Jesus Christ and the great and the all-encompassing salvation that he has provided. It's time for that to invade and to release blessing in every community at a local level. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know the Greek word ekklesia, which is translated church, has traditionally been defined as the called out ones, as in those who are called out of darkness into God's marvellous light, those who are called out of the world to serve God. And we've used that definition and praise God for it. Hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with it. But the word ecclesia was originally used in a secular context in both the Greek and Roman empires, and it referred to a secular institution operating in the marketplace in a governmental capacity. And when Jesus chose to use that word, that those who first heard it, that's the context in which they would have heard it, but it was applied to the church. What we now refer to as the church. What Jesus said was, I will build my ecclesia. Remember, apostolically built churches are governmental. They exercise the spiritual authority that they have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ to bind evil and to release blessing in their community and beyond. Go back through the Gospels. Just see what Jesus did, how he functioned, how he operated, how he ministered, and you'll find that he bound evil and released blessing in every community that he visited. Hallelujah. Don't get me wrong, we're thankful for international ministries and all of the media ministries that exist. But you know what the reality is? That the people they reach, very often, they're already believers. Probably primarily, they are believers already. I believe it's time for the fully equipped and governing church to be established at a local level, to bind the devil, to release the blessings of the kingdom, to become a transformational force to colonize the earth for the kingdom of heaven. I remember many years ago, if I'd have taught on this series probably at least two times or maybe three times over the years, over the last 20 odd years, you know, about transformation, not through reformation, but transformation through restoration. Hallelujah. Just getting back, getting back to the basics, back to the foundation, back to the we've always called it the church, glory to God, but really we were talking about the ecclesia. Time for the fully equipped and governing church to become a transformational force to colonize the earth for the kingdom of heaven, releasing the fullness of God's will and of his provision on earth as it is in heaven. And so this is something I've kind of felt led to do, and so my plan over the next 6 or 7 weeks is actually to replay the New Year messages from 2015 onwards, just as a reminder and a revision of the message that the Lord has been building in us. I could go further back, but I just feel to start there. As a reminder and revision of the message that the Lord has been building in us, and the ministry that he has been preparing and equipping us to fulfill as the local church, and the mission that he has given us to multiply that vision in every locality. Hallelujah. See, it's time, folks. It's time for the power that is in the name of Jesus to be released in our communities. Hallelujah. Jesus said that if he is lifted up, that he will draw all men to himself. Oh, hallelujah. He said that he will build his church, that he will build his ecclesia, and the gates of hell, the powers of the infernal region, will not be able to hold out against it. Hallelujah. It's time, my friends, to take back the land. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The scripture says, I think it's Psalm 32, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth for his purpose. God does nothing without a purpose. Hallelujah. And then God created man and gave him dominion in the earth, gave him delegated authority to govern in the earth. Hallelujah. God planted a garden, placed man in that garden, that place of abundance, superabundance, that place where they already, everything that they needed was already provided. God's intention was for them to spread that place, to fill the earth with that garden, hallelujah. What was contained in that garden, to increase its boundaries, hallelujah. But tragically, man sold out to the devil by falling to the only power the devil had over him. And you need to hear, I've preached on this many times over the years, there's only one power that the enemy, the devil has over any of us, and that is the power of deception, the power to bring a good argument. And tragically, and listen to this, man fell for a lie. And that lie concerned the character of God. And I want to tell you, folks, there are still many lies circulating. Many of them are in the church, they exist in the church. Many lies concerning God's character. Some are very subtle and deceptive, and many people have fallen short in their experience of God's glory as a result. Paul had to speak strongly to the church at Corinth regarding giving place to seducing spirits. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 1 to 4. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive... Let me just stop there a second. Well, how would you preach another Jesus whom we have not preached? Well, I'll tell you, a Jesus who didn't die to save everybody, who hasn't already provided salvation for everybody, healing for everybody, deliverance for everybody, prosperity for everybody, everything that everyone will ever need, that a Jesus that hasn't already provided that. That would be another Jesus. Or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, well, the spirit of truth isn't going to back that message. Or a different gospel which you have not accepted. Well, the gospel is good news. That's what it means. You can't change its meaning. And so if what you're hearing is not good news, then it's not the gospel. And then he says to these folks in Corinth, he says, you may well put up with it. The simplicity that is in Christ. Let me explain that simplicity. There is a good God. This is what Jesus came to reveal. There's a good God and there's an evil devil. You know, God always adds to our lives. If you add an O to God, what do you end up with? Good. So if it's good, it's from God. The devil only ever comes, Jesus said, according to Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10, the devil only ever comes to steal from us. So you take a D from devil, you take away the D from devil, what do you get? Evil. If it's evil, it's from the devil. If it's good, it's God. If it's evil, it's the devil. I'm trying to help you here to recognize who's who. The simplicity that is in Christ. Some people, they don't like simplicity. They want to develop these theological concepts and are just a way above and beyond the intellect of most folks, ordinary folks. They develop these things out of experience. What do we do? We never, ever, ever bring God's word down to the level of our experience, but we believe God to raise our experience to align itself, to become a fulfillment of God's word, of God's promise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's good news. Simplicity. The simplicity. Jesus said it in two words. Only believe. Only believe. God doesn't need anyone to develop excuses for him. Hallelujah. God loves us. Amen. Come on. This is the very basis of it all. This is the basis of it all. Come on. God loves us. He demonstrated. Have you ever had a doubt about that? He demonstrated that love in the most extravagant way when Christ died for us when we were still sinners. Didn't wait for us to clean up our act, didn't wait for us to get it all together. When we were still sinners. When we were still doing everything contrary to his will for us. That's when he chose to die for us. He demonstrated his love. We'll get that. We'll read the scripture in a moment. Jesus took our sin. He took our sickness. And he took every other manifestation of the curse so that we could experience blessing, the goodness of God in every area of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Oh, hallelujah. Listen up. Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, having been, come on, catch the tense, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, I'm racing through this, but you can stop on this and chew on this, come on. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died before for the ungodly. Come on. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Very often I put it this way, when we were doing the very worst thing that we ever did, the thing that we would be most ashamed of, at that point, Christ died for us. Much more then, here we go again, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, it just keeps on going, come on. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Oh, hallelujah. It's not down to your performance from here on in. No, no, no. We have already received the reconciliation. We have hope that never disappoints. You know, everything we've read there, it really is super clear. It really is incredibly simple and uncomplicated. And all we have to do is believe it. This is our message. We are here to establish and to extend the government of the Son of God and His peace, His shalom, where there is nothing missing and nothing broken. Oh, hallelujah. We are here to establish others in the righteousness and the peace and the joy in the Holy Spirit that is the substance and the lifestyle of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Our message and our ministry, they're clearly outlined for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, 21. Come on, this is the year of the local church. This is our destiny. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old is gone, and the new has come. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him. People need to hear, Jesus has already done everything that's necessary. Will you receive what he has done for you? Will you receive the reconciliation that he has already accomplished on your behalf? Will you receive the healing that he has already provided for you? Come on, will you receive the freedom from mental torment that he has already provided for you? Oh. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And then we're not sinners trying to get righteous. If we're born again, we're already the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus with power and authority to resist sin in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We have been reconciled. We have been given the ministry of reaching others with the message that they too have been reconciled, with all of the kingdom benefits that that includes, if they will simply believe and receive. You know, I've used this phrase many times over the years. I haven't used it so much in the last while. Believe and receive, or doubt and do without. It's too simple for a lot of people. They don't like the simplicity of that statement, but it's entirely accurate. Simple or not. We are here to expose and dismantle the lies and to establish people in the truth that sets them free. We are kingdom ambassadors. Our homes are kingdom embassies where people can find refuge. People who are in trouble need to know they can come to us and we can help them. Not because we're any great sheikhs, but because we have the power of the Holy Spirit available to us, who longs to demonstrate for them the love that God has for them and all that he's already provided for them in that great love. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are here to tell people grace says it's yours. Will you allow your faith to take hold of that and say, oh yes, it is mine? You know, we have tended to focus more on growing individual churches by addition rather than growing the church by multiplication, which has led really to the age of the megachurch. And so the first question asked of any pastor is, I know this because I've been asked it many times. How big is your church? I mean, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I began to realise that, hang on a minute, when I'm not around here, like, especially, it's like people say, oh, your pastor, how big's your church? How many people you got? How many people do you have? And I started to get a bit smart when I asked. I used to say, well, yeah, I'd say maybe about 18,000 now. Like, nearly fall over, you know. Never heard of you, you know. But what you're talking about, I'm talking about the population of Isla Lewis, and maybe Chuck and Harris there and walk up a bit west of Ellis, you know, up a bit further. Isla Lewis. Maybe just get them storing away occasionally, but they're pretty impressive, 8,000 or 8,500, you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You know, Jesus looked at things very differently. Listen to Matthew 18, verses 18 to 20. We're really done here. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is that which is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is that which has already been loosed in heaven. Jesus has already done everything. Come on. Hallelujah. How do you bind? Stop! In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We exercise the authority that he has given us to bind, to say stop, that's it, stop. Jesus encountered someone who was being harassed by demons, even possessed by demons. He said, stop! Your days of inhabiting that person's life are over, of tormenting that person's life are over. Out. Hallelujah. Then he would release the fullness of the blessing in that person's life. Many people had sicknesses that were connected to demonic activity in their lives. People, the one that had spirit of infirmity, remember, he loosed her. He bound that spirit and drove it out and loosed her from that. Released the power of heaven into her life to change and radically transform her life forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No messing. Hallelujah. Come on. Listen to what he goes on and he says, again, verse 19 of Matthew 18. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, chew on that for a month or two. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them, which of course is what makes all the difference. So let's catch this. In the context of exercising spiritual authority and in the context of releasing blessing in our communities, what do you think might be more effective? One mega church or many micro churches? Think about that. Now, the one megachurch might be more visible in the natural, but what do you think might be more effective in the spiritual? In the spiritual realm. In bringing that which has already been provided in heaven into the earth at the local level. One big megachurch or many microchurches? Let's remind ourselves, just as we close, of the first couple of lines in our vision and mission statement. The vision and mission of New Wine Church is to establish and encourage strong local churches consisting of disciples of Jesus Christ. Remember, it only takes two or three to release everything that's already done in heaven into the earth. Hallelujah. 5781-2021, the year of the local church. Let's just conclude with the word of God from the end of our vision statement. We read it earlier. Remembering that vision without mission is as dead as faith without works. Dead as claiming to believe without any accompanying action. Luke 9 verse 6 and Mark 16:20. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying saints. You know the really good news today? You know something that's really powerful? Let me just in case you haven't caught it, let me just highlight this for you here right now. We can leave here today and begin applying this immediately. We can leave here today and begin applying this immediately. Hallelujah. Next time, we'll have the New Year message from 2015. But let me just repeat that one more time. We can leave here today and begin applying this immediately. They departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name that's above every other name, that name that's the only name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must we must be saved, hallelujah. We must be healed. We must be delivered. It's a must. Hallelujah. You've already done it, Lord. You've already provided it, Father. Oh, Abba Shaka, Abba Sakatosa. Help us, Father, I pray, by the power of your Spirit, by your anointing, to get this word out. To get it out, Lord. To get it out to individuals, to the twos and the threes, to the tens and the twenties. Lord, at every opportunity, Lord, in the workplace, in the marketplace, Father, and even in our own homes, God, Abba Sikotosa Kayanda, Abba Hasako, and in the times that we come together as your ecclesia, in this larger format, Father, in Jesus' name, help us to get this message out, Father, that many might receive the word of reconciliation, that out of the message the opportunities to minister might arise, that your name may be glorified, that you bring in your harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful compares
Break every chain, break every chain.